is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day. It's Tuesday, and I'm grateful that you've taken 30 minutes out of your time to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Our studies today are going to come from the pulpit of Island Community Church in Merritt Island. That's where this was preached just a couple days ago, 2 days ago, actually. We're going through the book of 1 John at church, and we're up to another one of these texts where the figure of speech is sometimes, this is a hard saying. And that's where we're going to look at a couple of hard sayings here in this. I'll tell you, we've been finding out why Jesus calls John Boanerges, that is a son of thunder. John pulls no punches. Here today, we're going to look, starting in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whoever commits sin transgresses against the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. That we know. We know he was manifest to take away sins, and in him is no sin. That we know. Then he says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. So let me ask a question on this Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening. How are you doing with that, friend? He who has sinned has not seen him. Well, that I can say, you be with me in good company. We haven't seen him. Then John says, we haven't known him. This is a hard saying. This is the subject for my sermon here today and tomorrow. It's about a 30-minute sermon. It's a little short because we had Holy Communion afterwards. So this will be split up here between today and tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, Bible study night, we'd love to see you. We're in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 2. Love to see you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. The place, Island Community Church. The address, 1000 North Banana River Drive, from 6 to 7. The live feed will kick off on the app at 6 o'clock, also on Facebook. If you're a Facebook kind of person, look for the or find Island Community Church on Facebook, and this live feed will kick off right at 6. Looking forward to seeing you if you're able to make it. Let's have this opening play here both today and tomorrow. Now, if it is Wednesday, and you're hearing this in the evening, it's 5:35. Hey, you still got 25 minutes to make it to church. If you're able, we had someone last week who heard it at this time and came by and visited. Why don't you stop by and visit as well? Do you love the Word of God? Are you hungry for the Word? Are you looking for a church home? Or does your church not meet on Wednesday? Or does your church never open the Bible? Why don't you come by and visit us? We're a Bible-based and centered. Everything we do revolves around the Word of God. We'd love to see you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Okay, here we go with the sermon. By this we know. All these things around us, they're all signs that Jesus' return is near. They're not one of these things, and they don't happen just for naught. They're signs for us to know and see. As he said, my return is near, even at the doors. Jesus' return is so near. Now we're picking up here where we left off last week. We're in 1 John chapter 3, starting today on a misunderstood text. Probably has caused people to quit. Brings me back to a few weeks ago, remember? We were looking at Matthew 13, and we looked at four people that started off in the faith, and the first three quit, and only the last one crossed the finish line. We're back to one of those texts again, where the first group we read doesn't understand, and they quit, and they give up and walk away from God. We're going to see one of those here coming up. There's that hypothetical scene now, where unless someone explains it to you, then we all just might as well quit
and throw in the towel. We're in 1 John, we're in chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 4. It says, all these are on the handout as well. Most of them are, most of these verses, much as I could fit on one page. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. All right, so far I'm good with that, right? It's the word, and I'm always good with the word. Might not be what you want to hear sometimes, but the word is always righteous. The word is always good. The word is always pure. The word is always without error. And the word is always right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm not alone at that, I hope, right? It's us who needs to change. Instead of people changing the Bible, which they do, when they read something that they don't like. All right, what's he said so far? Number one, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. Naturally, sin is breaking God's law, right? Don't do that, he says. Point number two, Jesus came to this earth or was manifested to take away our sins, right? Point number three, there is no sin in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for he, that's God, made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Looked at that a little bit in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? Now, back in the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist saw him for the first time, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. All right, verse six. Verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Now let's kind of get that egg off of God's face a little, and let's water that down like some other translations. Whoever abides in him and does not practice sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, this we call a hard saying. If I've ever heard one, how about that? Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Let me ask a question. Is there any sinners in the house today other than me? Okay. Now, just to prove that he didn't mean what he said there. In chapter 1, he said, whoever says that he's not a sinner is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Remember, chapter 1, verse 6, whoever says that he has no sin is a liar. Now he says, if you sin, you're a child of the devil. Which one is it? All right, now, without some splaining here, Lucy, you might leave here and not ever come back. If this means what it appears to mean, who can stand? Whoever sins is not born of God, the text implies. All right, now thank God you've got a pastor who speaks and reads fluent Greek, and I'm a Bible translator. Let me help explain this. The word here for sin is a present active participle. Now, Darren is going to be a test on this at the next deacon's meeting. So get out your pen, son. What did we learn this week, deacons? Onomatopoeia, hyperbole, as they call them in Florida. Hyperbole, but in Florida, where it's a hyperbole. Rabbits. Like I said. Rabbits. Present active participle. That is, in English, it's a word with ing on the end of it. It's active. And it's a motion. We're looking at that word sin. Whoever sins, he says. So it's an active and it's in motion, kind of like sleeping, eating, running, walking, and to understand the text here, sinning. Get it? It's a continual action verb. Sleeping, eating, exercising, sinning. That's what John means here. Whoever keeps on sinning, just like he did before he was saved, then he's saying, you're not saved at all. If you're sinning like you're eating and drinking and walking and sleeping and exercising and sinning, no, you've missed it. We all slip up and sin, singular. But when you're still sinning like you're eating and drinking and exercising, that's what he's talking about. Whoever keeps on sinning, just like he did before he was saved, then you're not saved at all. A Christian doesn't continue to keep on sinning as a lifestyle. But a Christian sins and he has remorse for it. He sheds a tear over it. He realizes that his or her sin helped put the Son of God on the cross. Doesn't that bother you? If that doesn't, then Johnny here is trying to save you. He's trying to show you that if you're not changed on the inside, something's wrong with you. Okay? If you're not changed on the inside, then something's wrong. All right, next section here, verse 10. It says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Colon. All right, here comes his list. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. All right, now remember, you're chained to righteousness. Remember, right? Every week we talk about it. You're chained to something. You're a slave of something, right? You're either a slave of sin, or once you believe and receive and start walking in Christ, then you're a slave of righteousness. You're chained to it. You're chained to Him. You wake up in the morning and you say, what good can I do today? How can I help someone? How can I love on someone today? You're chained to it. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. But practice righteousness, like practicing the violin or practicing the trumpet, or you practice law or you practice medicine, right? Is not of God. How could you be? You're chained to righteousness willingly. Then he adds to that another group of people who don't have God. Those who say they are Christians, but they do not love their brother. Jesus called it the second greatest commandment of all. Remember, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, he said. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with everything you got and love your brother as yourself. Verse 11, this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? All right, stop right there. Consider the question. Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? He gives you an answer here. Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Man, oh man, don't we see his offspring all around us today? To kill someone because they're a nice person or kill someone because of their charitable acts? Question, isn't that the same reason they strung up and killed the Son of God? I never noticed that before. Okay, verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Notice here, he assumes this to be the case. Because with legitimate Christians, this is always the case. Hey, you know, I got a great idea. Let's have a quiz, shall we? And let's see if the world will hate you too, just like they hated John and his audience. Sound like fun on this Sunday morning? What else do you have to do? I heard Sonny's ran out of ribs. What else are you going to do here today? Let's have a quiz and see if the world hateth you. Repeat after me. That is only if you believe this in your heart. Because if you don't believe, you're only kidding yourself. Don't waste your time if you don't believe these. All right? Here we go. Repeat after me. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. You're dismissed. Have a nice day. Try that out here on the street today. Look at the evil that's happened to people that believe that. They still string up the owner of Chick-fil-A because of that. He's banned out of half the cities in America. The owner and the company Chick-fil-A is banned from half of the cities in this country. Because the owner thinks marriage is between a man and a woman. His own personal beliefs. He hires homosexuals. He hires men that wear a dress. His own personal belief is marriage is between a man and a woman. And the world hates them. And the Bible's saying, don't be surprised when it hates you too. Here's a few more. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bill's a college professor here. He could tell you. And Pam and others. I've read some of the documentaries of what happens to a college professor who believes that. That God is the one responsible who created this? You're an outcast. You're blacklisted. In many cases, you're thrown out of college for believing that. You're like what they did to actors back in the Joe McCarthy days in the 50s when they labeled you a commie for believing Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Here's the game changer. Romans 1:27. Ready? Homosexuality is shameful.
Homosexuality is shameful.
Hey, if you're on God's side, then this world will hate you. Try sharing these truths with someone that does not have God, and you'll find out. But if you've got one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, then Jesus calls you lukewarm. And he says, you make me want to vomit. That's in the Bible. Read it. To be lukewarm means to be the same temperature as your surroundings. It means you let this world influence you with your beliefs instead of letting the Bible influence you for your beliefs. One foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. Oh, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. There's nothing wrong with having a gay bishop or a pastor. Then you're lukewarm. Well, that's even worse than that. Jesus says when you're that way, you make me sick. But if you have both feet in the world like that and don't believe the statements that I made, then once again, John is speaking to you this morning. Not only that, John's brother James calls you an adulterer and the hostile enemy of God. Friends, this book is a checklist full of truths. Sometimes it hurts when you hear it. Sometimes it cuts like a knife. One of my favorite sayings in here is fall in or fall out. You have a choice this morning. You can bow the knee to Almighty God and do it His way, or you can fall out. Say hasta luego, walk away, and do it His way. Now, Jesus said it was going to be this way. Read Matthew 13. Various people, the first doesn't understand. Maybe the first one reads this and says, well, I'm a sinner. God will never forgive me, and he walks away. The second one, the cares of this world, the anxieties of this age. Or else the third group, remember in Matthew 13, is those that persecution arises because of the word. That is, I believe God created the heaven and the earth. Homosexuality is shameful. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Jesus says one out of four of every one of you that hears that is going to walk out of those doors and never come back. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Again, these are checklists. If you find we need to fix these things while we're alive. If you find that you fail every test, then you need to call me and we'll make it right. See, there's always hope for you because it's always today. Once it's no longer today, then there's no hope for you anymore. But Jesus, the Bible says, Hebrews says, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Call on the Lord and he will help you. Call me, I will help you. There's always hope for you as long as you're alive and your heart is beating, and it's still called today. Because once he comes back, it won't be today anymore. That'll be tomorrow. And you can't call on the name of the Lord tomorrow. You got to call on him today. You got to fix these things that are wrong today. We all have got something wrong with us. But praise God, he'll fix whatever it is. And it costs you nothing.
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio, and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
should be the fuel for mission's flame. We're going with a passion for your name. We're going for we care about your praise. Send us out. Let worship be the heart of mission's aim. To see the nations recognize your fame. To every tribe and tongue voices your praise. Send us out. You should be the praise of every time. You should be the joy of every heart. But until the for mission's flame. We're going with a passion for your name. We're going for we care about your praise. Send us out, out. You should be the praise of every time. Jesus, you should be the joy. We care about your praise. Send us out. Send us out. Send us out.